Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Ben. I'm looking at the Aussie dollar. Now, the Aussie has been on a rally against the USD lately. Analysts are saying it's a classic risk-on rally. Do you agree?
Good morning, Melissa. I think we'd have to agree. As risk comes back onto the table, the Aussie dollar is a terrific barometer for risk sentiment, and also a barometer for the strength and well-being of China, or a proxy, I should say, for China. So we've seen a little bit of an improvement on both. Now, you know, is that the tail wagging the dog? I mean, you know, we could sit here and debate that for hours, but obviously the Chinese data has improved a little bit, so that has certainly improved risk sentiment, and the Aussie dollar has shot up. And of course, like all currencies versus the US dollar, it takes two to tango. So the expectations of four rate hikes this year have obviously been watered way down. And now I think, you know, maybe two, maybe even one, maybe none. Who knows? But that's where we've seen everything that's denominated in US dollars, including commodities, put in a pretty good performance in the last couple of months.
Okay, so does that rally have legs? I mean, if it's not solely dependent on the weakening of the US dollar?
It's a good question. There's still the people toying with the idea of future rate cuts here in Australia, even though I certainly do not agree with them. We're looking at jobs numbers that are released today, so obviously that's a significant market moving event, even though they're quite volatile month to month. But you know, we could see the wind come out of the sails as early as a couple of hours from now.
Ben, sorry to interrupt, but you think that, so let's just say the Aussie dollar continues to appreciate, you still think that the RBA can stay on hold?
Yes. Okay. I do. They haven't even started to jawbone the currency yet, amazingly, which should be something that they is in your arsenal of being able to move currencies, is the jawbone of the central bank governor. But he hasn't done anything like that yet. So I think they really want to keep their powder dry. We're at 2% here. I know, you know, carry trades and these kind of things really, really suit the Australian dollar. But I think we're probably capped at, where is it? I'm looking at it right now. It's about 76.5 US cents. I think we're capped at around 77.5 US cents. And, you know, that'd be the formation of a double top of recent trade action. So that's what I've got my eye on at the moment. And I think 77.5 would see the top of the trading range for the time being. We might see it start to retreat a little bit.
Okay, well, speaking about a rally, whether a rally has legs, I'm looking at commodities at the moment. This resurgence in commodities, do you think that's sustainable?
Well, I mean, we're going to soon find out about, we're going to test the sentiment of oil traders as soon as this Sunday, obviously, with the OPEC meeting and, you know, potential production freeze that the market is pricing in. So even if we did get a freeze and maybe some positive commentary, we need to ask ourselves, has it already been priced in by the markets? So, you know, Dr. Copper is always a big one. That's really lagged behind other significant commodities. So, you know, generally on a risk-on rally, you see copper rally the hardest. It hasn't really been the case. We've been watching iron ore. We've been watching oil. We've even been watching gold, but gold's been a 2016 story, not so much the last couple of weeks story, or in particular the last couple of days story. We've seen a little bit of the heat come out of the gold. market. I'm still a gold bull. I'm not convinced about oil, even though, you know, on a longer term perspective, I am. I think, you know, if you've got oil stocks in your portfolio down around these levels, I think that you'll, you know, in sort of 4 or 5 years' time, you'll be thanking yourself or thanking me, depending on who you want to thank. and other commodities, I'm not convinced fundamentally what's shifted on that landscape so much. Even though, you know, China's throwing a little bit more stimulus at their growth problems, you know, that underpins some support. I'm still looking at India. I mean, you know, you could dedicate a whole 2-hour radio program to what's going on in India and when are they going to urbanise on embark on a similar path that China did coming out of the GFC. We've been holding our breaths and talking about this since the China really ramped up that whole stimulus coming out of the GFC, but still no signs of India. But if I did get wind of India maybe embarking on something like that, then I would become a significant commodity bull.
Okay, so you're saying that this rally, it's not based on any shift in the fundamentals. So largely based on the weakening of the US dollar, because dollar-denominated commodities, you reckon?
That is certainly a factor, and probably that they moved into, they've just been a little bit oversold, so they've been due for a technical bounce for some time. I mean, you know, a little bit is to do with the China stimulus program and maybe some stronger than expected numbers coming out of China. Other than that, you know, we need to price that in, and, you know, that can sometimes take a month or two to price it in fully. But then I'm looking for the next leg. Obviously, you know, some of these markets are always forward-looking indicators. So I'm looking for what's going to be the next leg of the rally, and I'm just scratching my head and really coming up with a blank at the moment.
Okay, well, let's a quick focus on oil. Oil prices on a tear at the moment. But what does that tell you? I mean, ahead of the OPEC meeting, are you concerned that if the Doha production freeze talks fail, could that mean a severe price slump for oil?
I think it's telling me to be cautious, and yes, I agree with that, you know, what you just said. We've been burned by oil in recent times previously, so, yeah, I'm exercising a degree of caution. You know, we're up above $40 a barrel. If we're not saying yee-haw out of Doha, I think that we're probably going to see a little bit of a correction to the downside for oil.
Full of wordplay this morning, Ben. But shifting over to the US, earnings season has just kicked off there. Your expectations this week, given that we're also looking at the China factor in this quarter's earnings?
Yes, that's true, and the US dollar factor as well. Now that they've revised down earnings estimates, which they always seem to do on Wall Street ahead of these quarterly numbers, they're a lot more achievable, so I'm expecting a lot of beats. I think we saw that with the JP Morgan numbers last night, and I think we'll continue to see it. So, but you need to ask yourself, I mean, just because we've revised down earnings and we're now beating those revised down earnings expectations, is that necessarily a good thing? What we'd like to see is earnings estimates be nice and healthy and for the profit numbers to beat those nice, healthy earnings estimates. I mean, that would be the basis of the foundation of a significant equity market rally, I would think. Now, I'm bearing in mind that after last night's price action, the US equity markets are around 2.5% off their all-time record highs. I mean, that was unthinkable a couple of months ago. So, you know, we're going to want to see some significant beats to keep this rally or the impetus in place. And, you know, so far so good, at least as far as JP Morgan was concerned last night.
All right. Thanks so much for your time this morning. That was Ben LeBrun, Market Analyst at Options Express in Sydney.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys. A partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.